Well, welcome to Blog Talk. I'm going to give you a little straight talk today about Cain. It's going to be a warm-up for our two-hour show at LibertyRadioLive.com. And then we'll put them all together, and hopefully people will learn something about the kingdom, because that's what we talk about here. We talk about the kingdom on a regular basis all the time. So anyway, this show is on the Cain syndrome, and I was madly dashing in here and getting things ready to go in order to do the show, and I was looking over the Burning Bush Festival .org website, which is going to be our main website on the festival, although there's stuff on the Preparing You site and as well as on the HisHolyChurch.org site. But BurningBushFestival.org, which hopefully will become a regular thing. We were just out in the field there where they'll be camping. Dug a few post holes to put in a gate, planning on we moved down at least a ton of stones and bricks. We got more stones to bring down, but bricks to build an outdoor cooking oven, something probably 8 by 6 is what we are envisioning right now, or 7 by 5, and able to cook large amounts of food. It's a festival. So there should be lots of food, and I want to encourage everybody to bring their own recipes and share their own food ideas. This is not where we do all the cooking and you guys just sit around in lounge chairs singing Kumbaya, but will be a part of the festival. You're what we are celebrating, your relationship with God and with each other. And that will hopefully grow as time goes on. We've got lots of room to grow because we've spent the last 30 years making it possible to do what we are now starting to do. Someone sent me a video last night. It was talking about that there seems to be this meeting point where we're finally doing what God wants and enthusiastic about doing it, and how God works where He sets things in motion long in advance of their culmination, so that suddenly all those things start coming together. It should be an old joke about what is it when everything comes together, and someone said the Bermuda Triangle. Well, everything may start coming together if we all start coming together in the name of Christ and in the character of Christ. What Cain did was go the other way. He was doing something different. And it's one of the most misunderstood syndromes of the Bible. We've talked about the Saul syndrome. And we've talked about this idea of syndromes at all. What is a syndrome? What does it mean to have this syndrome of Saul or Cain or any of these things? And if you look up the word, it talks about the pathology of the word syndrome in psychiatry is a group of symptoms that together are characteristic of a specific disorder, disease, or the like. And, of course, sin is a disease, and unfortunately most people have caught it. It is also defined as the pattern of symptoms that characterize or indicate a particular social condition. Now, I'm not making these definitions up. I'm just rereading them. And that's what the Cain syndrome is. It's that pattern that characterizes or indicates a particular social condition. Now, nobody wants to think that they're like Cain or the sons of Cain, but in fact, most people are the sons of Cain. They're the sons and daughters of Cain, and they are the reason why tyrants rise up in the world and bludgeon your brothers over the head. You wouldn't think you would do that. You won't bust into somebody's house with guns and rob them of their possessions or force them to give you half of what they have. You wouldn't go in and kidnap somebody's son and make him labor, even risk his life for you. You wouldn't do that. But the truth is, most Christians, most people professing to be Christians, do that every day. They do that as a matter of policy. They do that as a matter of characteristics, and it's an indicator of a particular social condition. Because your government does that. The government, whether you're in Australia or England or Canada or the United States or the Republic of Texas or anywhere, your government does that. It will kick in your neighbor's door and force him. They will drag him out of his own home if he does not contribute to your public school education. If he stops contributing, if he stops sacrificing his labor so that you can have free public school education, your leaders, your public servants will go to his house, kick in his door, grab a hold of him and drag him out and throw him in the street in the pouring down rain and sell his house to somebody who will pay for your child's public school education. I mean, that's a bold way to put it. But that's what you've done. And then now you've extended this out to social welfare, take care of your parents and your grandparents. You're going to have them take care of all your health care. And if they don't agree to contribute and sacrifice their sweat and blood and tears for you, for your social welfare, for your benefit, this is what you will do to them. You will attack them. You will imprison them, you will fine them, you will beat them until they submit and are willing to sacrifice for you so that you can be socially secure, so that you can be saved from dangers in this world. That's what you're doing. You have created a system whereby that is the way you work. You have elected men. You call them your benefactors, your politicians. And you have given them the power to exercise authority over your neighbor and force him to contribute to your welfare, to your desires, to your pleasures, to your comfort. They are your comforters. They are the spirit to whom you pray. And you say you follow Christ, and you say you love Christ. That's not what early Christians were doing. Early Christians took care of each other in pure religion. So we're going to spend the next 2.5 hours looking at Cain, and then another hour later on this evening at 3 our time on Freedomizer. And we're going to see if we can't figure out why we became more like Cain than Abel. In the beginning, we see in Genesis 4, it says that Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I have gotten a man from the Lord." And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. What ground was Cain a tiller of? The word ground there, it is translated land and earth and ground. It is translated also country. Now, when we say country, we think of, you know, like a government, a country. It's also translated husbandman twice. Husbandman. He was a tiller of the husbandman? What does that mean? Actually, the word there that he was a tiller of is the word Adama. Adama is the word, you know, the idea of Adam. It's slightly different than the word Adam, and changes the N. Instead of ending in a yod, it ends in a hey, which is an emphasis word. But it is also appears in other places in the Bible with slightly, they put a different Strong's number on it, but Adama and Rama and Hazor, when they're talking in Joshua, you see that same exact word. But Adama was what Adam and Eve were made from. They were made from Adama, from the earth. And he was a tiller of this earth that they came from. So what was really that all about? That's what we're trying to find out and understanding those characteristics of Cain. See if we're part of those same characteristics of Cain. Because he was a tiller of Adama. He plowed Adama. Even that word tiller, when we look at that word in the Hebrew. And remember, many of us who have studied this Hebrew and realize that these letters have meanings, and they put these meanings together, and they make an idea. And we call that a word, because the letters in Hebrew actually have meanings. Well, the word that we see there for tiller is not normally translated tiller. It's normally translated serve. But it serves in a particular way. Serve, do, till, servant, work, worshiper. These are all the words that that particular word tiller is translated into. Service, dress, labor, even ear, probably in the relationship to ear corn. The point is that this word, and it has to do also with, in the definition we'll see, that it served with Levitical service. Where were all the other people at the time of Cain? Well, we'll get into campfire talk if we talk about that, but this keeper of sheep, when we see that word keeper of sheep, it that word keeper is normally translated feed. Yeah, it's almost as many times it's translated shepherd. About 63 times it's translated shepherd. 8 times it's translated pastor. 7 times herdsman. 3 times keep. Twice companion. It's also translated broken, company, devour, eat, entreateth. It has a lot of different ways in which it's translated too, and it's the word ra, which is, begins with the resh, which has to do with ruling and lordship. But it's the lordship in the sense of feeding. Well, the shepherd is a benefactor to his sheep. And of course, Abel was a benefactor, but he did not exercise authority. He was a good shepherd who took care of his sheep, and his sheep followed him willingly. But Cain was a tiller. He had his service too, but it didn't talk about feeding. He tilled the ground. He plowed it up. He compelled it to bring forth its goods to him. He controlled it. And this is the distinction that is really going on between Abel and Cain. And Cain, you know, it goes on and it talks about in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. Fruit of what ground? Of Adama. This clay, this Adama, that Adam and Eve came from. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock, of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. So what was that all about? that he had no respect. That word is translated look or respect or dismay or turn or regard. He didn't seem to like it. You know, like, actually, this has to do with the concept of the Nicolaitan, believe it or not. Early stages of the Balaam and Nicolaitan error. And Cain was this individual who was born of Adam and Eve. Now, who are Adam and Eve? God made them from this Adama, and he breathed into them. And there are two places in the Bible that I noted that there was someone who breathed on somebody else and produced something different than was there before. So Adam and Eve had life breathed into them by God, and the apostles, when they first met Christ after his resurrection, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So Adam and Eve had received a spirit of God in this breath, and they ended up deciding to decide for themselves what was good and evil. People do that all the time. They do that during election time. They do that their whole lives. They're deciding for themselves. They're not listening to God. They're not walking with God. They're not living by the tree of life, but they are deciding to decide for themselves, eat of the tree of knowledge. They're going to figure it out themselves. Very proud, prideful position. And then this, they bore two sons, and one was a tiller of the ground, the other one was a keeper of sheep. And they're telling us something in these messages. I'll let you put together the campfire talk in your own mind as to what was really going on. But Cain eventually did not operate in a godly way. He was told, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted, and if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." What is he talking about? The Lord had asked Cain, "Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen?" He's talking about him needing to do well, but Cain didn't. Cain did something else. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, had a conversation, had an interaction with him. And it came to pass that they were in the field. And there were beasts in the field, and there were this idea of the field. Where is this field? Is this out, you know, out in the hayfield? These words all had meaning when they were originally told, but we're looking for precepts here. And Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. By force, he slew him. And what did he do after that? And the Lord said unto Cain, "Where is Abel, thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" What does that mean? Is he his brother's keeper? Is he to care for his brother? Certainly. Is he to rule over his brother? No. No, he is not to rule over his brother. The word keeper there is translated, you know, a dozen different ways. Keep often, observe, heed, keeper, preserve, beware, mark, watchman, wait, watch, regard, save. Same word translated all these different ways. Just depending on what the translator feels like that day. And he said, "What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth out from the earth. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth and received thy brother's blood from thy hands." He says, "When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth." Now they used a different word for earth there, Eret. It's not the same earth. So, you know, you can get very confused if you're not reading this in the Hebrew. But once you understand, it doesn't matter. You can read it in English and understand. But what's happened is they've read these stories to you and led you to believe that they mean one thing when they actually mean another. Obviously, we're not supposed to bludgeon our brother over the head when we get upset with him. But we're also not to be tillers of Adama. And certainly not what Cain did next. He thought his punishment was too great because he wasn't going to be able to bring forth fruit when he tilled the Adama. He wasn't going to be able to do that anymore. He was going to become this vagabond. He was losing his position. Behold, thou hast driven me out, he says in this day, from the face of the Adama. He goes back to using that word Adama again. And from the face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. Not Adama, different word there. Adama sometimes translated earth, but they used a different word. And so they didn't use that, but they're translating that Eretz into earth here. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me. And he says, well, no, they can't slay you. He's not going to allow that. But what does go on? Cain went out of the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. That word is translated before over 1,000 times, but almost 400 times it's translated face. About 75 times it's translated presence. Almost as many times it's translated because, or sight, or countenance, or from, or person, or upon, or against. It has a number of different forms, but it's not a root word. It comes from another word, which means turn or prepare. But he goes away from God. He takes another route. He goes another way. He dwelt in the land of Nod. And the word Nod actually means wandering. He had no real place, kind of like the devil had no real place after he was cast out of heaven, except for the fact that Cain was, you know, God was trying to work with Cain, but Cain would turn away from God, turn away from his face and go another way. East of Eden, it says. Where is this east of Eden? Eden it can actually mean the word pleasure. And east has to do with another direction. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a son they called Enoch. And he builded a city and called the name of the city after the name of his son Enoch. So here's the first city. You know, one of the interesting things about the word city in the Hebrew, most of the time it's translated city, but also town, and sometimes everyone. It actually means, by definition, excitement, anguish, terror. This idea of a city has an idea of something that is a guarded place. Guarded not necessarily to keep evil out, but also to keep you in. This was the first city-state, the first civil government. This is what Cain began to create, as a government whereby he was in charge. He was the authority. And other people would be subject. And this is a creation not of God, but out of the presence of God. And it's the first city-state, the first civil government where he ruled. And eventually we had Lamech and Nimrod, and we had the evil Pharaoh, and we had these other things. And why do they come about? Because we turn our face from God. Now, are we desirous of getting rid of governments? No, absolutely not. People need government. Most people need it really bad because they don't have God. And God allows you to make these governments. They are there for a reason. They are there to punish the wicked. Who are the wicked? The ones who turn their face from God and go off and decide for themselves what is good and evil and create for themselves cities like Cain did, civil states, where they can exercise authority, where occasionally they can oppress their neighbor. And this is the characteristics of Cain. Forcing, controlling. Not only he is the typical government servant. He's not really there to serve you. He's there so that you will serve him. He is selfish, and he is not above forcing you, bludgeoning you to get what he wants. And some of the times he'll have you do what's good. You know, take care of your neighbor. He will force you to take care of your neighbor. Are you that kind of person? Are you like Cain? Well, we're going to talk a lot about this on the show right after we're done here on Blog Talk. And we'll have 2 hours to go over all this stuff, and we'll bring it into a new context in your thinking. So then, God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.